Warning, the stories you're about to hear are detailed accounts of shenanigans, pranks, and some mistakes that are meant to replicate the sort of discussions that veterans have when they reunite over a cold beverage and do not depict the professional daily actions of the military at large. We hope to make you laugh, but not to disrespect our proud men and women in uniform. Listener discretion is advised. Camo Comedy, where we take a humorous look at the lighter side of military service. We got a big show for you today, but before we jump into it, if you like what we're doing here, give us a subscribe, give us a follow, whatever they call it on your podcasting platform. And while you're at it, give us a 5-star rating, write us a review, as that makes us more relevant in the algorithm and boosts the overall visibility of the show. But word of mouth advertising is just oh so powerful. So if you tell some friends, I will love you forever. Okay, let's jump into the show.
I am your host, Aaron Wolf. Just as a friendly reminder to the audience, we put out a new show every single Monday, so make sure you give the notification bell a nice tap so you don't miss a show. So, point of housekeeping, we referenced dressing up dick pics several episodes ago, and I get a lot of people that are emailing me dressed up dick pics with top hats and blazers and stuff like that. I'm not offended, but just so you know, I reserve the right to turn these dick pics into NFTs.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Aaron, I want you to know how many fucking people have texted me and changed my contact in their phone as a human sizzling queef.
The sizzling human.
I'm sorry. Okay. The sizzling human queef. All the nicknames you give me.
Well, just so you know, you don't just sell the queef, you sell the sizzle.
What the fuck? Because I'm fucking hot.
That's right, man. This is not meant to degrade you in any kind of a way. This is a compliment.
Disagree.
If you get a queef, you want it to sizzle.
Gross.
All right, man. So we're going to change things up a little bit. You got the first story this time.
I do.
Man.
Remember, right. Folks, spread cheeks, not hate.
Fucking A.
So we got a basic training story, and as you know, we love them.
I love our basic training stories,
These
man.
Are infantrymen.
Oh, fuck.
As we love them.
Yeah.
Well, in this particular story, we have to establish what a kill zone is.
Okay.
Okay, so the kill zone, we've talked about it before in the show.
Kill zone in basic training.
In basic training, yeah. Yes. So the kill zone is the area in the center of your barracks. It's set up like a giant rectangle. The bunks are all on the outskirts of the walls, okay?
Okay.
In the center of that is a painted portion of the floor with some kind of a logo of something, and it's highly polished.
Gotcha.
The only people allowed to step on that are the drill sergeants.
Gotcha. Good okay. depiction of this would be from the movie Full Metal Jacket.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly, yeah. Where the drill sergeant's walking up and down, that would be your kill zone, right?
Yeah.
And you have to run along the outsides of it. You're not allowed to cut across, okay?
You get fucked up.
Fucked up.
As a trainee, if you go through that.
Yes.
You think you're a drill sergeant?
Like, you don't step there, okay?
You got to establish all these boundaries.
Yes. Well, these guys say fuck boundaries, apparently. So, in this particular story,
all right,
we're going to call our main character Tom, okay? This story's coming from Tom.
What up, Tom?
Tom. So Tom told us that there was a kid who was recycled, and that means he got kicked back into training, okay? And apparently he had broken his leg.
Oh, fuck.
So he's walking around on crutches and stuff like that, okay?
Right.
Well, this is later on in their basic training phase, so the drill sergeants would leave for the weekends, right? And you'd only have like one or two drill sergeants that were there that would patrol and rove and stuff like that. But they were sleeping at night.
Yeah, gotcha.
So
checks out.
Instead of the drill sergeants coming in and fucking them up every single night, they'd be able to get some sleep.
Right.
Well, drill sergeants weren't around, and these guys made like a tape ball of some kind and were throwing the ball back and forth, playing catch.
Fuck yeah.
And then they look over to the other guy. And
make your own fun.
Yeah, exactly. You got nothing else to do. It's not like you have your phones and stuff like that and basic training.
And so this was what? 90s, early 2000s,
yeah.
Did you say?
Right, so you don't have your cell phones and stuff like that.
Right, then. Right.
Well, the kid with the broken leg and his crutches, Tom looks at him and goes, "Hey, I like baseball." So they start, like playing pitch and hit with the dude's crutches.
That's amazing.
Well, these fucking idiots up a baseball diamond.
Oh, fuck.
In the kill zone.
Oh, dude.
They scuff it to the
how could you not, man?
Yeah.
If you're running around in the set, they're fucked for this one.
This doesn't go the way you think it does.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this happens on like a Saturday or something like that. And that night they're like, oh shit, like this is fucked up bad.
Oh,
because this is highly polished.
Right.
Looks good.
It's easy to scuff that kind of wax.
Yes.
You know?
Well, they ended up...
Especially with those big clunky boots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They ended up doubling their fire guard. So the guys that stay up at night and do their little patrols, make sure there's no fire, people yeah. are leaving and stuff like that, they doubled it. So instead of having two people, they had four people.
Oh, fuck.
And they spent the entire night polishing.
No way.
And re-waxing the kill zone.
No way.
Yeah. They so fucking pulled it off.
Oh, that's fucking beautiful,
the
man.
The drill sergeants had no clue.
That is the best way that that fucking story could go. I thought they were going to get fucked up. I thought like yeah. they're going to come in and the drill sergeants are going to notice something is amiss.
Oh, but, yeah. You would think they would miss a spot somewhere, but that shows the attention to detail yeah. of these guys.
Well, also, like, you got to say, man, like, these guys had some fun and then, you know, they covered their tracks.
They came together as a team and completed the mission.
Yeah, what better team building could there be, man?
Yeah. And well, you know the drill sergeants, like, some things in basic training they'll let go if you start to come together as a team. So I know when I was in basic training, we would yeah. like, take turns sleeping under our bunks, pretending like you're tucking in the sheets, you know what I mean? You'd stick your hands up in the wires and you just rack out, or we would
beautiful.
Lock somebody in a wall locker
yeah.
and somebody else would sit by it. And the drills, like, you know the drill sergeants know these tricks, right?
Yeah, those are old. I've interviewed a lot of veterans, and this goes back
yeah.
like 80s, 70s that they were doing that stuff,
yeah.
probably a lot before.
But our drill sergeants knew what we were doing, but they recognized that we had somebody on like a lookout, like on a guard, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And we were working together as a team, so they're like, all right, they're coming together, we'll let it slide. You
right.
know what I mean?
Okay.
But these guys are just absolute legends.
That's awesome, kill
zone
man.
Baseball, man.
Bravo to you guys
yeah.
for pulling off kill zone baseball and then waxing the floor to the tune that they didn't even notice when the drill sergeants came back in. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, so check out this next story. This one goes back to the 1960s in Korea.
Oh, shit.
Right? So there was a group of maintenance guys, and apparently there was, you know, recon patrols, and they were always shorthanded. So back in the day, they would reach into whoever was kind of around to assist, or like, hey, we need another vehicle in here. Can some of you guys back us up?
Because right.
it was more of a strength in numbers kind of a thing
sure.
back then. So it's important to establish what a 113 is. So this is a tracked recon vehicle, is like an armored personnel carrier or APC, right? And like, you drive it, there was a hatch that opens up at the top, like you can kind of drive standing up, I guess.
Okay.
I've seen, you know, I had to look this one up, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
I didn't know what that was.
So this one guy, he went out on a recon patrol with his lieutenant. You know, his lieutenant was in the back. So the way this is, there's, you know, there's a turret, there's a hatch up front where mm-hmm. the driver sits, and then there were like places where people could pop up in the back
okay.
and kind of, you know, look around and everything. And
so they're like outside of the vehicle looking around.
Yeah, they were outside of the vehicle, not really secured in. And like, these things go pretty fast. They're lighter armored, mm-hmm. they're smaller vehicles because they can zip around, zip back.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, kind of having fun out there, like, you know, a recon patrol as a bunch of maintenance guys. Well, they come up over the sandbar, and this guy really takes it kind of at a high rate of speed and ends up bucking his lieutenant out of the vehicle. And he just
oh.
sees his lieutenant like soar over him and then land on the ground.
So now, he hits on like the way, like it's the peak of it. And then on the way yeah, down, it catapults.
Boom. Yeah. He just got catapulted out. And we're happy to report that the lieutenant was okay. It
oh.
wasn't like that bad of a situation. I mean, you could break your neck very easily,
yeah.
break a bone, any of that kind of stuff. So he was okay. I think his pride was just hurt or anything like that. But that dude fucking heard about that shit. It was not pretty.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Did he get in trouble at all? Or was it like a
no.
oops-a-daisy? And-
it was one of those where it's like, hey man, you might want to slow it down,
yeah.
you know, and look, I think the lieutenant understood, like, they weren't necessarily used to these recon vehicles.
Right.
Like, back in the day, it was a little bit more of the Wild West in the military. It was just like, hey, if you can back us up, you know, take it, you know, we'll go around here,
sure.
get this vehicle. It wasn't like, you must be certified. I kind of understand, like, after decades
yeah.
of after actions reports and shit
yeah.
like this going awry, where they're like, okay, we're not just going to put any dipshit in the driver's seat of any vehicle.
Yeah, this is why we have our PCCs and PCIs.
Exactly.
Pre-combat
so,
checks and inspections.
Glad everybody was okay, but how beautiful is that? Like, you know, I would imagine that lieutenant probably found ways to get even with this sergeant a little bit later
yeah,
on.
I'm
so.
Sure. So I'm going to share one of my own stories this time.
Oh, beautiful,
yep,
man.
So
another cheek story.
Yeah, this is when I was in the infantry. It's an Afghanistan story, and we were mounted up. And usually I was in a Max Pro, which we always called the combat Cadillac. It's like
right.
a big box, right?
right?
And they're not as nimble.
Huge up-armored vehicle.
Yeah, it's yeah.
And it's like an APC and a fucking Humvee had a baby.
Yeah. yeah. Well, our Max Pros weren't independent suspension. They had straight axles in the back, so
okay.
the ride wasn't as smooth, right?
Right.
Well, we would always run with two Max Pros and two Mat Vs, and the Mat V is the all-terrain vehicle version of the MRAP, right?
Gotcha.
And they're all independent suspension. They're awesome.
Okay.
So the ride's a lot more smooth.
Right.
Well, we're doing our PCCs, our PCIs, pre-combat checks and inspections, right?
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, right. So we're doing our patrol brief, and we're going through head counts. Hey, you're in this truck. You're in this truck. We've got our list of who's in where. And this captain's like, hey, you're pulling me out of the Max Pro. I'm not riding back there because it's a rough ride.
I'm pulling rank. It's like, yeah, fuck you. My ass
exactly
is not going to be sore.
Yeah, it's exactly what he did. Well, on this particular mission, I was a gunner in a Matvey. So this was, I got moved around too. Well, he's like, I'm jumping in this truck right here. Switch who you need to fucking switch. I'm riding the Matvey.
Okay.
Understandable.
Right.
Right.
I get it.
Well, we're running down this this road at this point, and we're like, I think, third truck back. I don't remember.
Right.
But we've got a mountainside on our left, and then there's a river on our right.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not in a good spot. There's no really real good place to egress, or
right.
If we take contact, there's nowhere to like divert off to. So we're all on edge,
shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're looking, we're waiting, we're scanning and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm in the turret, and I hear a... I'm like, what the fuck was that? And then this smoke starts to come up through the through the turret on me. And all I hear in my headset is,
oh, shit.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And I look down, and the whole cabin area is full of, like, this purple smoke.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
So the lieutenant in the truck commander's spot in the front passenger
right.
seat had like leaned back or something like that, and his elbow had hit the Purple K fire extinguisher.
Oh, shit.
Someone had apparently pulled the pin on it.
Oh, that's fucking beautiful.
So the whole truck fills with this Purple K. I'm laughing my ass off.
How could you not?
Because
man,
I can breathe.
Right.
And everybody else is inside just choking to death, right?
Yeah, that stuff is no joke. I mean, it's designed to put out like white phosphorus
yeah,
type
like
stuff.
Yeah, like metal fire shit.
Heavy, like high temperature.
Right.
Yeah, fires.
So we're in this horrible choke point. And
oh, fuck.
People are getting on the mics. You got to pull over. You got to stop. Right? So we pull over, open all the doors, and this shit just starts bellowing out. And I'm laughing, right?
Yeah.
And I hear... Chase, you better shut the fuck up! Because it's funny, right? Yeah. So all this shit gets cleared out, and there's this purple coat
yeah.
on everything inside, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we get to where we're going. Everyone gets out.
Ridiculous.
Everyone gets out. We circle up. The driver, the lieutenant, our interpreter, and the captain.
Yeah.
Who switched seats from the Max Pro
right.
are all covered.
Yeah.
So the whole front half of their body is purple and pink.
They look like that one kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory
yes.
that got turned into a fucking
yeah.
a blueberry
right.
or something like that.
Well, the whole front of their body is that like covered in Purple K, right?
Oh, fuck.
And the whole back half just looks like multicam. And it was like a perfect line on all of their bodies, right?
Oh, that sucks.
I walk over to the captain, and me being the smart ass I am, I'm like, hey, sir, are you happy you switched vehicles?
Oh, yeah, talking some shit to the captain.
So
that's always.
He pauses. He had a good sense of humor.
Right, right.
He pauses, kind of inspects me up and down. And because of where I was at in the vehicle, only thing that got hit was my boots. He looks at me and points at my boots and goes, your boots are out of regs.
Oh, fuck yeah. That is the polite version of go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was hilarious, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man. All right, so you got to be drug-free in the military,
mm-hmm.
right? This next story is an Army story.
Yes.
And so let's just establish some things here. You got an Army sergeant. We're going to call him Bill. And he has been picked... to what we're going to call meat gaze.
Yes.
Right? So like when you take a piss test, they do it a little bit differently now, I think. But at this time, they would pick different sergeants and different medical people would be administering the test.
Right.
And the meat gazers had to look at people's dicks,
mm-hmm.
guys' dicks,
yep.
and make sure that the urine was coming out of their Johnson.
Correct.
Right. So... no funny business was going on or anything.
Only
like this.
Dick watching. No funny business.
Right? So he was working with his guys. And, you know, this guy in particular, we're going to call him Dave. So, unfortunately, Dave was in a bit of a downward spiral, which is not funny, right? Like, he had had some relationship issues going on. He had lost some very expensive equipment. So, he was already getting chaptered out of the military, right? Yeah. Now, and one of the reasons, let's just pause here. One of the reasons we're doing the show is to build community. We understand that a lot of veterans have, you know, depression and PTSD and stuff like that. So, we're trying to focus on the good times and then try to reconnect veterans with people that understand them and laugh about the good times and stuff like that. So, we're happy to report that this guy Dave has got his life together now. Right.
Awesome.
At the time, it wasn't the best time.
Yeah.
Right. So,
which makes for funny stories.
Exactly. which is why this is funny. So, Dave comes in. Right. He comes in to take his piss test. We got Sergeant Bill, who was meat gazing, right? So he's just like, come on, hurry up, man. A bunch of guys to watch, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, make sure you don't spill anything, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of...
So he's not particularly excited about this task?
He is not, right? And this is not a fun situation for anybody to be in.
Right.
Like, you're there all day. You got to check all your guys. And it's... Anyway, he looks down and he kind of looks away. And then he hears a kersplash.
Oh, no.
He hears like a thud and a kersplash, right? And he looks over and he sees that Dave has got this rubber Johnson like pointed out of his PT shorts. Oh. And it's got this like contraption of like hoses and plungers. And he had like this piss bag that just hit the floor and went all over every place. That's what the kersplash was a second ago.
Oh,
so clearly he was trying to cheat on his test, which indicates that he knows he was probably going to fail this piss test. And mind you, that these two are friends. So he's like, oh, fuck. So this puts Sergeant Bill in a very bad situation. He's like, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck? So he's like, all right. So he goes out in the hallway. He's got to get a witness, right? And he gets, we'll say Sergeant Ted. Hey, come in here. We need a witness or whatever. Sergeant Ted rolls in and he sees the rubber Johnson and he just says, why is it veiny?
Oh, and, God.
Bill immediately turns around, punches Ted in the chest, and is like, that's your fucking question? What the fuck? Right? So he's like, look at all this shit. Like, we've got to deal with this stuff now, and we've got to report this up the chain and all that kind of stuff like that. Right about that time, they hear, like, the fucking rubber Johnson fell and it hit the fucking floor. And they're just like, dude, what the fuck, man? So Dave was already getting chaptered out of the military. And this kind of solidifies it and everything like that. So he ended, you know, we're happy to report, you know, Dave got the help he needed.
Yeah.
He ended up putting his life back on track. He was in a bit of a bad spot at that point in time. But, dude, a rubber Johnson...
Why is it so veiny?
Why is it so veiny is just the funniest fucking line. Like, so that's what you focus on out of all the circumstances that are surrounding this situation. Why is the rubber cock veiny?
This guy's got hoses and plungers and a bag of piss. And he's like, why is it so veiny? Oh, man.
I guess he was going for realism.
I guess.
You know, like, hey, I don't want to have just one of those like rubber cocks that it just looks like a rubber cock. You know, I have to.
Yeah.
You know, we have to put some fucking details in there, man.
The last piss test I took, I asked somebody else for the answers, but they didn't think it was as funny as I did.
That's beautiful.
I love it.
Thanks for checking out the Camo Comedy Show podcast. If you like what we're doing here and you want to participate in this community, there are many different ways that you can contribute. First and foremost, tell somebody about the show. Word of mouth advertising is very powerful, and we really appreciate you for helping us out. If you have any funny military stories of your own or know somebody who does, with their permission, of course, you can contribute those stories via email at stories@camocomedy.com. That's stories, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, at C-A-M-M-O-C-O-M-E-D-Y.com. Or if you're not too good at the internets, drop us a voicemail at area code 531-222-6146. That's area code 531-222-6146. That's right. We're giving away our phone number. We want funny military stories from all eras. So if you're not from a generation that's heavily online, we don't want there to be a barrier for participation. We have a lot of big plans for this show and building this community to support veterans. We will announce here soon. So stay tuned. All right. I'm going to go have a nice spicy bowl of chili. Later.